Timothy, brother, I don't have to hand this to you. You got it, right? Lord, bless Timothy. Bless your word. Give us ears to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The love of God amazes me. There is no words to describe. And what God's put on my heart is he wants to reveal himself to us. And that's that cross right there is the value he places on that revelation to us. Can we see that and just embrace that? That's how much he wants to reveal who he is to us. Do y'all want to be a part of the work of the Lord?
Yes.
What is that? Can y'all throw out what is being a part of the work of the Lord?
Going to whatever post he sent you.
Amen. Whatever post he sent you, go there. Anything else that just comes to mind? You can go put the slide up. Do you have something? Sorry.
Introducing people to
the Lord. Amen. It's the work of the Lord. So this is what God's been putting on my heart, and this is the first, like, what he put to me, and I'm going to dissect this a little bit more. But expand your vision, Timothy, to encompass the mundane. Okay? So that was the word that God gave me, and then he because I didn't do it, he said, it's your responsibility. And that was pretty clear. And I'm going to start breaking that down. Let me go to the next slide. So the verse that came to mind when God made it very clear, expand your vision, was the one that I learned as a youth with King James Version, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Does anybody have another version that's out that they can read what that word vision is in those other versions? Anybody? Well, if no one else has it, if you go to just about any...
Revelation.
That's the word. Revelation. Every other version, that's pretty much the translation of that word vision. And I kind of... In my mind, okay, you have to look, I'm speaking from Timothy, just being perfectly honest here. So, in my mind, that word vision took a whole lot of meaning as I was growing up because of this verse, as I was growing up. And so, I'm going to refer to the word vision, but interchange those words with revelation of God, okay?
Well, that's good.
Because it's the same, okay? And I'll make that really clear because, and I'll, throughout my whole thing here, I'm going to jump back and forth between the two words, but... In my mind, and what God is showing me is, they're the same. It's the revelation of God. And so without this revelation of God, we perish. And man, is that true. Oh, it happens fast. It happens really fast, which is why we have to constantly be seeking after the revelation of him, of who he is. We have to be seeking it. The law was the revelation of his will to his people back before Christ. That was the revelation. He gave it to Moses. Moses said, hey, this is what God has revealed to us. And that was the law. And what was the response to the people? Well, obedience was one of the responses. There was a lot of other types of responses as well. And what I find is interesting is how fast it went from them trying to seek after the revelation of God to, oh, I'm going to do this in order to be what I need to be. Like that shift in their mindset, right? From, I want to seek after God and find him. That's what you see Moses, who came back and he was white, right? From just seeing God. And then the people of God, like, they started getting so focused on the doing and of the law and of the... This is what it is that they missed the revelation. Does that make sense? And I see us doing the same thing now. Even though there's the Holy Spirit in my heart, in my life, if I get so focused on the doing of the now and the mundane, that I can miss the revelation of what God is trying to show me. I can miss who He is in the midst of it all. And what I want to really share, I'm getting to it. So my ability to respond to what has been revealed to me. So when I speak of the word responsibility, this is my definition that I'm going to give in this context. Because when I read the word, and from a Christian and biblical perspective, my responsibility is to respond to what God has shown me in every ability that I have. That's my responsibility. So, and if I break the word down, it's pretty clear. It's my ability to respond to what He's shown me. So I can either not want to be shown what God is presenting to me, and I don't have as much responsibility. That's one option. I can also get on another path and try to take on as much responsibility in my mind as I can and shun what is being shown. It's another option. But what I want you guys to start to see and what the revelation that God has shown me is that revelation and my responsibility have got to be a one-to-one ratio. Yes. Hear that. It has to be one-to-one. I have to get a revelation, this is what God is showing me, and I have to do it. Right? It can't be, I do, and don't want to see the revelation. It can't be, I want the revelation, and I'm not going to do. It's one-to-one. God wants us to walk one-to-one. He wants us to be, and what is that? That means the greatest ministry that you can have is to smile while doing dishes. Hear that. The mundane becomes incredibly valuable. So, to that question, what do you... actually, go to the next slide. Go to the slide. Yeah, this is we need to do this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that does not seem very comfortable. Okay, I'll start by saying that. Holy and acceptable to God. That word holy is, if you search that word, it's pretty amazingly pure, okay? I mean, excellence is the word that comes from that. Which is your, I love this, reasonable service. Blows my mind. Like, how is that reasonable, God, right? It doesn't seem reasonable. It seems way beyond reasonable, right? And do not be conformed to this world. Oh, I want to get into this further. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, currently, right now in this century, the mundane is being despised incredibly. In fact, everywhere you turn, our culture is trying its hardest to avoid the mundane. I mean, they're automating everything. They are making it to where you can be distracted with your phone every second, to where you don't have to even be engaged. You don't have to do nothing. You can avoid this thing called mundane. And all they have done is they've spiked the bell curve all the way up of boredom. So we have just reached the pinnacle of boredom because we are not actually engaging in the mundane. You hear that, right? That's what's happening in our culture. And we're being entirely distracted by this thing called boredom. And we have arrived. Yesterday, I was in California. And I was flying out of Burbank, and we were flying out of Burbank's airport. And I had a few hours that afternoon to do something with two coworkers. I'm like, hey, I want to put my feet in the Pacific Ocean because you're there. You're going to do it, right? And so I look on my phone, and it said, it's only about 55 minutes to the Santa Monica Beach. Cool, let's go to Santa Monica Beach. So we go down there, we put our feet in the ocean. I come back, and I look up to go back to the airport. 4.5 hours to get back because it's a LA, right? Should have known this, okay? All right. There's nothing available. Like there's, I mean, every single highway is done. And so all, and I'm like, well, I'm going to follow Google. Well, guess what? Google took me through every neighborhood in Beverly Hills. And I got to see the pinnacle of this. I got to see it all, okay? There was Lamborghinis. There was everything you can possibly imagine. And everybody had this incredibly bored look on their face. They were just bored out of their mind. Wow. And I saw one person that did have boredom on his face. He was working with his little boys, about like, I think 11 years old and a dad. And they were trimming a hedge. And they were trying to get it just right. And I saw them both smiling. And they were in the moment of the mundane.
Wow.
And it was like this incredible picture to me that was so obvious. It was like, I have literally am driving in the pinnacle. This is the zip code that everyone talks about. This is it. This is the $4,000 a month for a studio apartment place. And I see nothing but emptiness because we have missed the mundane, what God has called us to. I'm just going to quickly ask, in your minds, just throw some stuff out here just for me, just to help me out. What do y'all consider to be mundane? Chunk out some stuff. This is good. Grocery shopping. I love it. Keep going.
Laundry.
Laundry. Yes, I knew that was going to come. Another one.
Work is like grass.
And then I heard work. I heard. Yeah. Yeah.
Be on hold.
Be on hold. Yes. So for me, no, I totally get what you're saying. So one of the struggles that I have is at work, I have to fill out my expense report. I don't know what it is about this process other than the fact that it's totally inefficient and it just works on me. Like, it takes my soul and it just sucks it out, right? Because I have to do this thing and I avoid it as long as I can until I have to, and then I do it with all this begrudgingness, and even my kids are like, what are you, Dad, right? Because I have taken this mundane thing and I have not in any way given it to God. In no form whatsoever. And it sucks me dry. Right? Go to the next slide. So, what value does the mundane have? And I'm going to try to propose to you that it has the greatest value in your life because it's most of it. Hear that. Okay, the mundane has the most value. If you become from that perspective, all of a sudden, little things that you just could not handle anymore, you begin to start realizing, oh, God, you gave this to me. You gave this moment to me. Everything can turn into it. That's what I saw when I went through Beverly Hills. There were people doing things that I thought were absolutely incredibly cool, and you could tell it was mundane to them by now. Blows my mind, right? Everything can turn into the mundane. But oh, if we can just find God in the midst of the mundane, then everything can be us walking with God.
Whoa.
Do you hear that?
Yes, that's good.
Everything can be us, hand in hand, arm in arm, every moment saying, yes, Lord, you're right here. And my Smile Ministry is going to do a whole lot more than a whole lot of other ministries that I could possibly have in me. The mundane spills through all social norms. It just does. Our culture has tried its hardest to remove mundane. But at the end of the day, it still gets there. It still is there. And if we don't see value in it, it can literally suck us dry too. It requires your attention. And man, our culture tries hard to make the mundane not require your attention. They try really hard. That's what all the apps on your phone is. That's what all social media is about. That's what everything you see in this culture is about, is to suck your attention away from the mundane every day so you don't have to think about it. You can throw earbuds in your ears. You can think about something totally else. And you can do your life, right? Without ever actually doing your life. And God wants us to do our life with him. Hear that.
Yes.
He wants us to do our life with him. That's his heart. That's why he revealed himself to us. That's the point. So, the mundane is what makes us liable to what we said we will do. I love this one. So, I think a lot of times it's like, what is reliability? Well, all it is, it's the ability to be reliable, right? It's the fact that what you said you're going to do, there's something that's going to check it and say, did you do it, right? And trust me, if you haven't done the mundane, there's a big pile of laundry, right? There's a big pile of dishes. There's a big pile of whatever it is. The car isn't started. You've ran out of gas. Whatever it has to do, there is always something that comes along that keeps you accountable to the mundane, right? You can try to ignore it. You can try to shove it under your closet. You can try to do a whole lot of things in your life, and it's still there.
Yeah.
It's the reality that God gave us.
Yeah.
It's the reality that God gave us to say, this is for you to come to me daily. That's the beauty of it. It is our accountability. Oh, makes me excited thinking about it. I'm getting pumped about the mundane. It is our offering which has that beautiful aroma to God. Because if we can walk with him through the mundane, oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. In fact, that's so sweet, it actually expands our tent pegs. I kind of see it as it makes the structural member of our relationship to God stronger. And I'm going to show this with what I have here. And this is because I think these thoughts, and I think weird, but bear with me here. I'm going to borrow two chairs.
Here.
Sorry. I need two chairs. No, oh, thank you. Back to back. So I'm going to do a stress test here in front of everybody. This is something that we engineers do all the time, and it's kind of fun. We think these thoughts. So I'm going to shoot a gun. All right, so I'm putting what I call a member here, and I'm going to attach it to this other member. And now what this is representing in my mind is our relationship to God. And if you notice how small this attached point is, okay, if all we focus about is, you know, the things that are interesting, the things that in our mind is, I don't know, the ministry that God's called us to, my ministry, that's a good word, my ministry. If we're focusing about that, right, my ministry, my testimony, the things that make me closer to God. Well, okay, that puts a couple nails in here. That gets us closer to God, right? We get a whole bunch of nails. We're doing our thing. But we're not extending out into the mundane. Right? We're not actually reaching out as far as God wants us to. And in our entirety of our life. And we just keep on saying, oh, I'm going to do one more thing. And I'm going to do it good. I'm going to do it. I'm white knuckling it. I'm going to make this happen. Right?
Right.
And we just keep on putting more nails, and by goodness, it looks really good strong, right? Well, let me tell you, this is almost worthless. Right? If I put this on here, it falls down. Right? But if we could actually do something and say, okay, wait. We're going to actually extend this in same member across the full length of who we are, right? This is just normal engineering stuff here. You know, I nail it. I only need my nails. No! Hold on. Exactly. It's jammed. There we go. Never thought you'd see that in church, did you? All right. But anyway, if we take this and hear this, because what's amazing to me is how less nails I need. Oh, this is not really going to work. My thing's failing me now. One more shot. There is, and I've got it further in. And it's the fact that we can't give up. And let me tell you, you will be knocked down. You will. There we go, we got one. You will be knocked down many times. But what God's called us to is to get back up, right? And what's amazing is that with 5 nails, I can definitely hold this. In fact, I could probably hold that on there. And it's fine, right? It is structurally sound. So when pride comes along and just throws itself at me, and I'm in the mundane with my relationship with God, it handles it, wow. Right? When the next generation comes and is depending upon me, they don't see the hypocrisy. When I'm saying, Lord, there's none of me. In fact, I don't even see any of me. I see nothing. He can come and say, look, I'm in you, the hope of glory. And it holds the load. And it doesn't get taken out. And I'm not trying to make this be, you know, discouraging in the sense of, oh, I've been taken out. I haven't been focusing on my mundane. No, think of it as hope. Hope is there's nothing we have to do other than, Lord, come into my mundane and be Lord.
So good.
Come into my, I don't know, just everyday life.
Yeah.
And be Lord. Not like, hey, I'm going to, you know, be a missionary and I'm going to tell the world about him. Well, if God tells you to do that, sure. Not anyway saying you don't have to. But that isn't the focus. That's an overflow. That's the 5% of your life that overflows out into what God has called us to do. The 95% of our life where we're actually trying to get our kids to actually go to bed, right? And us not to have bad attitudes during the process. That's the part of life that God was to say, I want to be Lord of that. That's the spot. It's called faithfulness. That's the word. Faithfulness. You can go to the next slide. So, where does this work come from? Where does it come out of? It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, abounding in the work of the Lord. Ooh, I love that word, work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Or you could say, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain.
Sent that verse to you this morning.
You did, and I already had it in my slide before you sent it. It's incredible. Be steadfast. Well, steadfast is this concept of always. It's not just when you're in ministry time.
Right.
It's not when you're just in, like, hey, we're going to get something awesome accomplished time. Steadfast is steadfast. And so the work of the Lord I'm going to propose to you is actually happened. It happened on the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm also going to propose to you that it's done and complete, lacking nothing. Hear that.
Thank you.
It's complete. Now, does that mean that I don't have the ability to respond? No, of course not. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that when I do respond, my gratefulness, my thankfulness, my realization of how much he loves me is exploding tenfold. Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Excellence is God's nature. I think in our current culture, we've run from excellence. You know, with the invention of the paper cup and everything else, you know, good enough for now is good enough for then, right? God's called us to so much more. And excellence gets down to the putting the kids to bed at night, right? Excellence comes down to us just saying, okay, Lord, I don't have the strength to do this. You have to do it through me.
Yeah.
That's where excellence comes out of.
Thank you. Ooh, so good.
We bring God glory by completing our work. And like I said before, the work's already been completed. He's done. He's finished. And what's so interesting is the fact that he gives us the opportunity to be a part of that finished work. It's incredible. And the idea that I could have this one moment in time that's more valuable than all the other moments in time in my life is just hubris. And it is not at all saying that he is Lord of my life. The value that God placed on you is for your entire life. All of it. It is not some small portion that's in service for him.
Yeah.
It's all of it. And when we can get to that place, we can start to see what God has for us in the laundry. Creativity is crafted in the grind. This is also came to me yesterday. I was going up the escalator in Atlanta, flying back in, and I think I was on gate D. But there is this huge art exhibit where someone has taken, I would say, several hundred thousand crayon tips and stuck them all over, you know, and made these incredible shapes, just incredible shapes. I mean, it's amazing art. And I was sitting there like, oh, I would never be able to cut that many things. And I mean, that just seems so tedious, so grindy, so mundane to me. And I was thinking, how in the world does anybody, like, have the patience? Well, because they actually embrace the grind. They embrace the mundane. And through that, they all of a sudden became incredibly creative. And that's what God is doing in our life. He's taking us, our mundane things that are just these little tiny things we say, oh, there's no way we can get through it. But yet, if we could see the picture that he sees, and if we could see the masterpiece that he's creating, we could all of a sudden say, oh, I see it. And that's the vision that God wants us to have. That is the revelation. When he says, without the vision, the people perish. Without the revelation, you perish. Without this revelation, we perish. And the idea is that we can actually come to that revelation and say, oh, Lord, please, I need you to be the masterpiece, to create this masterpiece using me. And that's every moment of our life. Go to the next slide. It's all about our heart. It always is. It's what he wants. Bond servants. I can relate to that so much with my work. It's great. Like when I see that word, I'm like, yes, they have a place for me in the Bible. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. And man, that's, if you think about it, it's really tempting at your bond servant place, whatever that is, right? You want to just do it by what someone else thinks of you. It all makes sense. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. To the Lord, in the Lord, of the Lord. You hear those terms?
Yes.
That's what God's calling us to. And not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You don't serve these other men. You don't serve these other gods. You serve your Lord in excellence, in service to whoever he's called you to whatever he's called you to the mundane. God gave us the mundane because his revelation is large enough to create a masterpiece that can use each moment our heart aligns with him. So just like all those little crayons I was referring to was on this masterpiece, every moment that my heart aligns with Christ is a little crayon in his incredible, awesome, creative masterpiece.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's allowed that for me.
Thank you.
Go to the next slide. So God gave us a great example with the family. He showed it to us in his word. And I'm going to quickly go through this. I don't have much time, but I really want you guys to hear my heart in this. This is, to me, the call for men. Men, your vision must be large enough to encapsulate the chores. It's got to be. And ladies, and people that I would say are looking to get married, I think having this kind of vision is important. And I think communicating that vision to one another before you're married is actually really important. Because if you can't get the vision down to the chores, then there's going to be some problems, right? I mean, we've all experienced it. And I think even after we're married, we've got to keep getting the vision down to the chores. You must fight tenaciously against the revelation stealers. The revelation stealers is what I referred to as earlier as our culture. There's video games. There is iPods. There is whatever you want to. You can't imagine how many revelation stealers there are out there right now that want you to not see the mundane in its greatest value. And we as men, husbands and fathers of our family, have got to fight tenaciously to say, as for me and my house, we're not going to have a revelation stealer. We're going to find the revelation of God. You will be knocked down. Lean into the hits. I think it's important for guys to hear that. You must get back up. Responsibility is still a thing since you can rely on him. It can only be done in his strength. So even when you're down, even when there's no hope, he's there. Hear that, guys. Even when there's nothing left but just, I don't know what to do, reach out to him because he gives you the strength. He's the one that's going to get you from A to B. It is not your white knuckle that's going to get you there. Hear that. You must communicate, men, the vision to your family. And this is where the mundane becomes real. Because it is actually how we live the mundane is what communicates that vision. It is. Especially to the little ones, because they don't really hear too much of what we say, but they sure see what we do. Ladies, your heart location in the mundane is paramount. Ladies always amaze me. Us guys, when we see the mundane, we try to avoid it. We can just throw the dishes in the corner and we can walk on. You ladies have an exact opposite thing. Y'all just and you just get it all done, right? But the whole time, your heart is in a totally different location. Okay? We both have problems. Hear that. But it's a different type of scenario, right? I mean, Lauren left 2 weeks ago and I was there by the house for like 3 days. Nothing got done. I realized I'm no different than I was when she married me. It scared me to death. But it's because of my love for her that I actually do things. Yeah. That's incredible. That's what God wants for us. Yeah. Women, you must nurture the revelation to life. You guys, y'all are what feeds. You feed it. You're the ones that take the little nuggets of nutrients, the little nuggets of this and that, and you can make an incredible, amazing vision come to life. It blows my mind. Y'all have been given a gift that I can't even fathom.
Yeah, right.
Your mundane is the growth of the kingdom of God, and you can see the evidence in your children, in your home, and everything around you. It's incredible. God's given us these gifts. Children, your obedience in the chores builds the revelation in you. Do you realize that that's what we're doing at work, right? Our obedience to the revelation, all of a sudden we begin to reveal that God is in the midst of this even.
Yes.
That's what's happening to our children. Pass it on generation to generation. Ah, my heart. Go to the next slide. Surrender to the one creating the masterpiece. So from this perspective of the mundane, I want you to know that the revelation that you've been given by God is enough already. You don't need any more revelation. He will give you more, but you don't need any more revelation. This is hard on me because there's a whole lot of times that I think, God, show me your XYZ, fill in the blank. Show it to me. And I have to remember that what he revealed on the cross to me is enough. It stands on its own. It holds all. It encompasses all. And I have to be willing to submit who I am, everything that I think that I am, even things that I've lied to myself that I am. I have to submit all that to what he's already shown me. And going back to what I was saying at the very beginning of how responsibility and revelation are one-to-one ratios, that's because I have to have him as my Lord, period. Right? There's none of this me taking this offer, them taking that offer, me going this way and that going that way. It's no, he's my Lord. So as God gives me revelation, I'm going to have responsibility. Hear that. My responsibility is to act out what God has revealed to me by the power of his strength, not my own. And lastly, only my surrender to the Holy Spirit can change my heart to gain joy, peace, and see the glory of God throughout all my life, including whatever mundane thing is in front of me. And I want you guys to really think about the last time you struggled through a mundane day. Go there in your head. Some of you may not have it. I have, because God's working with me on this. That's why you're seeing this. And go there and say, Lord, I want to see who you are, your lordship over this, over that day, over whatever it is that I'll call is life. Because that's what he's called us to. That's it. I'm done.
Come on, y'all. Let's say thank you. Wow, that's powerful.